Hello there, Nicola Barden here from Q102's Weekend Buzz. I hope you are all doing really well and thank you so much for pressing play today to listen to this episode. Before I let you listen to the whole thing, I just have a little bit of news for you. So if you're a fan of the Weekend Buzz or this is the first time you've ever listened to it, amazing and thank you, and scroll back. We've got over 70 episodes there, so there's some great chats for you to listen to from the likes of the cast of SVU, from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Grey's Anatomy, loads of stuff, some amazing singers, reality stars. Great in-depth conversations for you to enjoy. And I know that's what you're here for. So that's why I have to tell you my news. I have rebranded the show and it is now strictly podcast. So it's no longer on radio. It is just podcast and it goes under the name Tis Yourself. So do come and find us. We're on Instagram and Twitter and obviously all the places that you're listening to podcasts. So if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, Google, CastBox, Good Pods, Spotify, we are there. I am there with my over 50 guests, fantastic guests. You're going to love some of them. They're absolutely amazing. So we've got some of the cast from like Games of Thrones, Breaking Bad. Yes, Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones. Can you believe it? Some amazing singers like Shane Ward, Matt Cardle are there. We have the actor Jerry O'Connell, who has some surprising roots to Ireland, you won't believe. We have the likes of Tom Lenk from Buffy, who played Andrew. If you're Irish, you'll know the names James Patrice, Trisha's Transformation, Tommy Fleming, the Nolan family. There's loads and loads of stuff in there. We've Sarah Jane Dunn from Hollyoaks. We've got some cast of EastEnders. So there's a real mix of Irish, UK, US guests, and we're just adding to them every single day. We're getting some new guests. Season 4 is just about to be launched. So come and join me. I'm over here waiting for you to discover me. That's Tis Yourself with me, Nicola Barden. Hope you enjoy this episode.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Weekend Buzz with Nicola Barden.
You're welcome back to The Weekend Buzz here on Dublin's Q102, here with you until 8. My next guest, you'll probably remember him as a bit of a hardy book, and now he's going out on his own. Mr. Owen Colgan, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me on the show.
Look, I'm delighted to have you on, and how are you? What's been going on?
Well, not much really now. I'm just settling back into Mayo after the Christmas.
And to get ready for that big third lockdown.
I know. I'm so well. Everyone's kind of used to it now, like, so. I'd imagine it'll fly by anyways, and it's a good chance for us all to work on ourselves at home, maybe.
You were using that the original lockdown to write a bit of a stand-up tour, I believe.
I was. Yeah. Now, I didn't do it every day, like, but because, you know, we get to a point where, like, there's only so much you can do in the house, so. Mm-hmm. I got sick of scrolling and sick of looking at YouTube stuff, so I'm working on my tour at the moment, and it's called Still Alive.
The motto for all of us right now, we're like, still here.
Yeah, but I didn't even mean the name like that. The name I meant more so was like, in case you forget about me, because sometimes if you don't post on the internet for a while, you think people might forget about you. So it was a needy title more than anything.
Oh, but look, that's very true, especially if you're from rural Ireland. You know, if you haven't been seen around the place, they're either thinking, she's up there in Dublin now, and what is she at, and who is she with?
Exactly. You have to go around town. Sometimes I drive around just waving at people just to remind them that I'm still here, so.
They're like, oh, he hasn't got too big for himself now and sauntered off to LA.
Exactly.
How hard is it, though, to write a tour, you know, in an isolation where you can't really go out and practice on anybody or kind of, you know, because imagine some of your jokes, you say them kind of around friends to see, you know, does it get a bit of a laugh?
The thing is, when you're in the house on your own, like, and you're writing stuff, it doesn't necessarily sound the same when you say it out loud because you write differently than you say it. Like, so I've been walking around the house a lot and kind of recording myself on dictaphone, maybe a bit like Alan Partridge. I find that seems to be the best method for me anyways. Before, I would have just wrote it down on the page and then I would have kind of half remembered it.
Yeah.
Tested it on a few friends and then see if it worked. But obviously, you can't do that now, so. Yeah, so I just have a dictaphone there in the house and I walk around, and if it's a funny idea, if I talk about, you know, whatever the topic may be, my worst hangover or something, some new fitness routine that I'm getting into, just record it and just kind of, then I listen to it again and then I put it onto paper and then kind of try to redraft it from there.
And to see if you think you're hilarious as well. You're like, oh, I'm laughing at
I think
myself.
I'm hilarious. And yeah, the beginning I'm like, geez, you know what, I am funny. And then about a week later I'm like, no, I'm not funny at all. So it's a lot of second guessing yourself and a lot of looking at your material going, who's even going to be listening to any of this, you know? But you kind of, you have to believe it at first in order for other people to enjoy it, I think.
Listen back to it and kind of go, yeah, that hits the tone or that doesn't.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that normally comes in the second or third draft anyway. It's been things I've wrote in the past and I thought they were funny and then I went to do them and I'm like, well, that's not funny at all. But it's good that with the lockdown, I suppose, and there's not much distraction. Like if I was living, in Dublin right before the lockdown kicked in. So I almost had too much distraction up there, you know.
Well, at the start of lockdown one, I had all these great ambitions and then I was like, I'm using Dublin as the excuse of why I haven't done it.
Well, I'm using Mayo as an excuse, so one of us is definitely wrong. But I'm sure I think everyone's in the same boat. You know, I was going to do a marathon there last year, and because of the lockdown, obviously, there was none on, really. So I said, you know what, I'll do my own marathon. And everyone was like, oh, that's a brilliant idea. Just do your own marathon. It makes sense. But didn't do it in the finish. So I'm still going to get around to it anyway this year. That's the plan anyways. I'm up to about 15 kilometres, but, you know, it depends on the week that you've had as well, like, so...
Yeah,
you know, it's trying to keep on top of that stuff. But I think those kind of New Year's resolutions and those goals, it's good to have them, like, but I think it's also good not to be too hard on yourself either.
No, I think that's what we all need to give ourselves a bit of a break, you know, especially this year. You're thinking, why haven't I done this? Why haven't I done that? And somebody has done this and I haven't done anything. And you're like, well, look, do you really actually have the time? Or would you prefer to just like... chill and enjoy yourself? We all need a bit of comedy, and that's the thing, I suppose. It's great to hear that, you know, you're planning to get out on the road, because the one thing is, we all need a bit of a laugh.
We all need a bit of a laugh. It's important to smile every day if you can. And yeah, I suppose now more than ever it's good to have a laugh, you know. So I'm looking forward to getting out on the road, looking forward to getting around to all the different places across Ireland. But you kind of take it for granted, but now I won't, definitely. Whenever I did the tour last, you know, you might do a gig and then you get in the car and you'd head off. I'm going to really appreciate it this time now. You know, appreciate to get around to see the beautiful country that is Ireland.
Yeah. Like, I would love to, I go to Vicar Street quite a lot just to see different comedians, and sometimes there might be like one of those ones where there's seven comedians on, let's say, like the Paddy's Day thing at the Three Arena, and you might know them all, and you have such, you come out and your face is hurting you and you've had a great night and you can never repeat any of the jokes because they never sound funny when you try to tell them to somebody else.
I know.
And those nights, just, I miss them.
I know. It's about the energy of the place, and it's like, it's almost like everyone in the room is kind of on the same buzz, you know. And that's the thing I do miss about the live kind of gigs. There's a good energy about the people, you know. The Zoom stuff is all good and well, like, but there's not the same kind of energy from a Zoom stand-up as opposed to the real life people in front of you. You know, it's just, it's so exciting.
How do you do Zoom stand-up? Because honestly, I know myself, when I'm talking to people on Zoom, there's a 3 second delay between you and them, and you might have said the funniest thing in the world, but
yeah.
The delay is there, and they're like, and you're like thinking, oh no, they don't find it funny, but really they just haven't heard it yet.
Well, that happened to me far too many times at the beginning of the lockdown. So then I had to call up the local fella and put in the internet in the house. So now I have fairly good broadband, and that's something I never remember having in Mayo. It was more than 3 seconds. It was like 5 minutes behind. but now it's working perfectly. So the Zoom calls, they're fine, like, but it is a bit awkward because you're always looking at your own face there on screen, and then they're looking. You don't know really where they're looking either, like, so it's kind of like a bit awkward. And I think it's all good and well, like, having the Zoom stuff. It's very important and it's been great for everyone. But you know, just the live stuff is the best crack. But the Zoom ones are funny, yeah, because it's like you're kind of nervous, but yet you're only on a screen on your laptop as well. So,
but you're right though, because everybody just looks at themselves as like, did you see that you make a certain face when you laugh or whatever, and then you're like, why do I make that face? And that's all you can focus on.
You're like, do I look like that my whole life? How come no one's told me I've got that stupid look on my face all my life?
It's exactly it. I've done interviews for this show where, you know, people are in America or something like that, and you know, we've done Zoom, and my friends are like, oh my god, you've talked to such and such on Zoom, that's amazing. I'm like, yeah, well, I really didn't really look at them because I realised how ugly my face is on screen, and I'm like, they're looking at me looking like that.
Well, yeah, that's a good point actually. What I did is I covered my screen as well with a bit of paper. I covered my own actual face, so I find that helps a lot, makes me more relaxed.
Ah, yes.
I might do that for the stand-up. I might just wear something over my face.
Oh, nice, nice. Just be like, what is the crack though? Like, because obviously we don't know what way restrictions are, and your tour is meant to be March till May. Do you have like a plan in place if, let's say, the first few days can't go ahead or anything?
Well, I think it's like everything else, really, in the way that I'm planning 100% that the show will start, the tour will start in March, and that the first few gigs are going to go ahead. But obviously, with lockdown, you don't really know what's happening. You know, nobody does, so they're changing all the time. So the way I'm doing it and the way MPI are telling me to do it and all the venues are telling me to do it is just continue to plan it so that, like, that first gig is going to happen. Mm. And then if it changes, we might move the dates to, you know, maybe the very end of the tour. But from what I'm from today, from what I'm thinking right now, the tour is 100% going ahead. So
because we're seeing a lot of people who are meant to, like, well, international acts mainly, who are, let's say, were meant to come over and play in Dublin, and then they say, you know, it was meant to be the start of 2021. They're like, okay, we'll come at the end of 2023. And you're like, no, I won't even remember I have tickets.
I know, yeah. I suppose it depends really how quickly they can roll out the old, you know, the old vaccine. But it's a tricky one, yeah. I don't know. But from what I'm gathering, it's they're all going to go ahead, because I'm in contact with a guy from MPI all the time. So, I mean, I can't really think of it the other way either. Like, I can't be worried that they won't go ahead. Otherwise, you know, you'd be fretting too much either, you know. So, like everything in life, really, you just have to
hope
for the best and do your bit every day, whatever you're doing, you know. If I'm writing every day, I'm not thinking that far ahead, really, in a way. I'm just thinking, what can I do that's kind of funny today, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, what's funny, it's like currently if you could get on stage today, you'd have lots to talk about Trump, let's say, but that won't work in 4 months' time.
That's the thing, it won't work in 4 months' time, and the news is changing so quickly. And as well as that, everything that I've been writing, it's always tinged with the coronavirus, strangely. I didn't think it would be, but like almost everything I talk about has kind of reflecting on the coronavirus in a weird way. You know, it's got into every corner of our life, so there'll be a bit of that talk in the show as well. But I'm going to try as well not to go too deep into it, because, you know, you would get sick of hearing about it too.
Yeah, people want to go and kind of not hear that much about it. They want to laugh at it and laugh at certain things that happened during lockdown or whatever. But then they're like, okay, what else is going on?
Exactly. Yeah, you can't bore them with it either, you know. So it's just trying to find what's going on without the coronavirus involved.
Yeah, well, it's like, is there anything?
Exactly, the cows maybe, I don't know, the cows moved from one field to the next. But
that'll work in Mayo.
It's coronavirus.
Like, you, obviously a lot of people that'll be going to be Hardy Books fans. Going back to like the start before that became, you know, the hit that it was, were you involved with the writing of that, or was there any writing in terms of Hardy Books when you originally started putting it together?
When I originally started with the Hardy Books, there was no writing. It was just turn up to my town, which is Swinford, and we're going to do a weekend of filming. So that's what we did. We had an idea of what the scene might be about. You know, it might be, you know, Eddie wants to go to Galway, but you don't want him to go. And then that'd be it. But what we do then is we'd record for like 3 or 4 hours a few different scenes, and then, you know, kind of edit them down into something that made sense. But there was no script. It was all improvised stuff, like, you know. So that was all good and well, but that's different when you're on camera. But when you're on stage, you know, you only get one go. So you kind of have to know your material when you're on stage. So there's been a few gigs in the past where we've just gone up there and we've kind of improvised, and it works for a while, but at the same time, you know, you need to have that bit of structure, especially for like an hour of live stand-up.
Yeah, I think anyone who's been to a comedian before, we love a bit of the improvised stuff. You know, let's say you talk to somebody in the crowd and their story brings on a joke that's clearly not planned or anything like that. But you do need to have to go... Anyway, back to Jimmy, and as I was saying, you know,
it
has to have some sort of flow to it.
Yeah, unless, of course, you're at the very, very top, like maybe Dave Chappelle or someone, where you're just kind of improvising the whole time, but that's going to take another 15, 20 years to get there, you know, so... But the Hardy Books is great, yeah, that was definitely the beginning of the career, and a lot to be thankful for when it came to the Hardy Books.
When you, like, that, like, obviously it was such an instant hit, you know, obviously we saw it on between YouTube and then when it won and gone on to RTE, but, like, how did that even... Like, how do people sit around and go, come here, do you know what would be good crack if we filmed ourselves?
I think we were just kind of already doing it, but without the cameras. We were living in Galway, most of us, like. So we were kind of already kind of that daft, you know, and we were kind of, a lot of the teams were kind of already going through in Galway, like trying to meet a lady, trying to figure out what the hell was going on in our life, you know. So we just moved it back into Swinford, and we all got the same references because we all went to school together. So it kind of went from there, and then... we got onto Storyland and we started getting paid like to talk rubbish for the weekend, so half of us were like, oh, this must be our job now, and then it just went from there, you know.
And then it became this thing, which I imagine was quite daunting when you realised how big it got, because you've gone from being just lads like joking around and having the crack with your schoolmates to suddenly being like people wanting deadlines and saying, we need you here, we need this, you know, written, and we need to read through it. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, this is turning into a bit of a job here. You know, you have to learn off scripts and you have to redraft stuff. And, you know, it was a bit tricky at the beginning because it went from something that was just a bit of crack with a few friends to something that, you know, there was a bit of pressure on you to kind of be funny, you know. So that's kind of, in some ways, it took the fun out of it. But then it's up to yourself to, I suppose, find that fun again in it, you know. And at the end of the day, like, you know, even with the tour, you're getting to go on stage to talk to people across the country, you know. You get to tell them something that you're thinking. And then you get to have a laugh at them throughout that. So, you know, I used to kind of get pretty stressed about the gigs, but now I've sort of reimagined how I see them, I suppose, and try to appreciate more what I'm doing, you know, instead of kind of freaking out, because the Hardy Books, it got very big there for a while. But, and we were kind of like, oh, do we want this? Do we want it to be kind of known? But, you know, it's a great experience too, like the fact that you can go into any town nearly in Ireland, someone will give you a cup of tea or something like that, you know. It's quite a nice feeling. Like,
the rider is huge when you guys come to town. I'd like a cup of tea, please.
Well, the rider for this next tour, by the way, because the last tour there was always like a bottle of Buckfast or maybe 3 or 4 cans, and I was kind of obviously bringing the Hardy Books, my own reputation from the character, with me. So I've put a ban on that now, and I just said to them, just want tea backstage, nothing else, no coffee, no sweets, just tea.
Oh, you diva.
Oh, I'm a huge diva. I've changed.
What would the Viper and Eddie and the lads say if they knew this now?
Oh, they wouldn't talk to me anymore, you know, but I suppose we all have to figure it out in our own way, you know. But it's just that, like, this, it's too much. It's like anything in the house, you know. If you have biscuits or sweets in the house, you're going to have to go through them. So if there's a few cans backstage before a gig, I'd probably have them, because I'd be half nervous and pacing around the place. So, you know, I'm trying to keep it clean now this next tour, and keep it to the tee, keep my head clear, you know.
Yeah.
But I'll probably have a few after. Life, you know, life can get too serious, especially as an adult, you know. So I think comedy is more important now than ever in that way. Like, and if you can make someone feel better for at least 5 seconds, hopefully longer than that, like, but then, you know, it's a good thing, you know. It's a blessing to be able to give someone the joy of laughter. So it's nice to see people laughing, you know.
Yeah. And how are you going to get everyone laughing in this show then? Tell us a bit about it.
I'm going to pump laughing gas into the show.
Oh, I'd be happy with that.
as long as they're laughing and it looks good for the pictures and Instagram.
Now, is it going to be stories of you, about you? Is it going to be
it's all about me, nobody else? I know, it's going to be stories about growing up, celebrities that I've met, such as Gary Pallister, Shane Lowry and the likes. Just stories about Hardy Books growing up, stories about how my life has changed during lockdown, a couple of dating stories. It's going to be a surprise guest as well at every show, so maybe like a couple of Hardy Books and a local comedian.
Brilliant. So like everybody's going to get involved.
Everyone's going to get involved, yeah. It's going to be exciting, it's going to be fun, and hopefully it'll take the pressure off people's lives.
And where are you going to be heading to? I know you're doing a few places around the country.
Yeah, all the local hotspots, but I'll be going to Dolan's in Limerick. I'll be going Roisin Dubh, I think. I'm going to Liberty Hall in Dublin. Going up there to the Limelight in Belfast. I'm going down to Cork as well. Different spots. And Galway. I think I've said Galway, have I?
Mm-hmm.
And Castlebar as well. The TF in Castlebar. So there's pretty much, I'll be going into like one venue in every county, I suppose. That'll be exciting. A great way to see the country.
Yes.
A great way to see the people.
Especially when you've been stuck in Mayo for the last so long.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't been able to leave.
And you know what I'm going to do as well? I'm going to actually blog the whole tour as well. So I'm going to get someone maybe to record the tour and do it like a sort of behind the scenes stuff. So you'll see a lot of on the road stuff as well when I hopefully pitch that to Netflix and they bite off me 2 million quid.
Per episode.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, if anyone is listening and wants to get tickets, they're on Ticketmaster and it's called Still Alive.
Mm-hmm.
And they're available now, so you can go as soon as you hear this and pick them up. And anyone in Dublin can go to Liberty Hall and get that. That's where the tickets are going to be for. Owen, best of luck, and I hope it all goes ahead, because we could all do with a good laugh.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. And if you want to come to any shows, give me a shout and I'll check your name down.
I'll be coming to them all, because I'll be like, I need a good laugh. Owen Colgan there talking about his new tour, Still Alive, which you can get tickets for, as I mentioned there, on Ticketmaster. That is all we have time for this morning. Been a great show. Thanks for listening to me on The Weekend Buzz. And if you missed any of it, you can go back and find us on podcast. Just search Q102 Weekend Buzz wherever you listen to your podcast. If you have suggestions for someone you'd love to hear on the show, do DM me on Instagram, Weekend Buzz with Nicola Barden, and I will chat to you next week. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. It really means a lot to me and I really hope you enjoyed it. Do scroll back and see if there's anything else that you might enjoy. And before I let you go, do remember to come and find me on my new podcast, Tis Yourself. Again, talking to celebrities, this time a lot more in depth. So there might be longer episodes there. And we're talking about what was life like before they became famous, the different alternative roads they could have went down, how life changed for them, for good and bad, and so, so, so much more. And of course, the thing that they're best known for. So come and find me, Tis Yourself with Nicola Barden. And I really hope you'll enjoy the new episodes. They're up to date. They're brilliant. There's some great people there. And I'd love your support. So please do come find us. That's Tis Yourself with Nicola Barden.